Welcome to the Hipsit Podcast with Rabbi Simcha and our producer, Sherry Barkley.
Hello.
Okay, Sherry, we have to tell the listeners some big news. Mm-hmm. This past week, you have gone totally viral. You blew up. You're on Mashable. What's going on? Tell the listeners.
Well, you know, we have this, you know, it's kind of a funny underground thing where we can't actually mention the station on this podcast. But
thank you,
if you are, you know, an investigative type, you'll find it. I just want to say that I'm grateful to be on Mashable. It's a mitzvah. And also for this podcast.
Let's get to Tachlis, Sherry. You've been viewed 12,000 times.
That's about 15,000.
15,000 mm-hmm. times. And the segment was you standing on top of an RV talking about internet pirate radio.
That's right.
Very inspired. Did you ever think you'd ever get there, Sherry?
Actually, I did, yes.
You did? And you did? And yes. You did. Okay, Sherry, this is the podcast that makes grown men cry. So we're going to begin with the mailbox. And we're getting mail, by the way. It's coming in, emails, texts from over other side of the pond in Manchester, England.
Not only that, you are getting interviewed in Manchester. The show was featured on the Manchester University podcast.
Manchester Metropolitan University, the finest academic institution in Manchester, interviewed me and mentioned the show. So we're going viral. We're in two countries. We've crossed the pond.
Let's hit the mailbox.
The mailbox. Okay, it goes like this. Michael Aaron in Manchester, England said Sherry has a great voice. Okay, number one. Number two.
Thank you, Michael.
Chaya Block said, great show, loved it. Number three, Galia Bender said, that was a bit boring. And number four, Mitch Garbo. I know, right? We've got some haters. Okay, Mitch Garbo in Cobble Hill, Brooklyn. You're not going to believe this shit. You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? Okay. Listen to the whole podcast. Loved it. I laughed. I cried. I mostly laughed.
Love it.
This is the podcast that makes grown men cry. Okay? Unbelievable. Okay. So we have joining us today in the RV two amazing, amazing guests. Got to pronounce this right. Okay? Sarah and Kawa Gig.
Yes,
I got it?
You got it.
Okay, also known as the Hasidic Hipster Girl. Okay, yes. Say hello, Sarah.
Hi, guys. Shalom. Excited to be on this podcast today with Rabbi Simcha.
I really, really appreciate it. I know you're in demand. You're out there, and it's a busy week. It's before a chag, and thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to read your bio. Okay, you sent it to me, so don't complain if it's inaccurate. Okay, she's Hasidic. You're Hasidic?
That's right.
Okay, and a hipster.
Yep.
Merging the two worlds into one. Jewish, fun, free-spirited, social media influencer, spreading a passion for Jewish life, sharing snippets of your everyday as you discover new things on the journey. That's right?
That's right. On
point. Okay. You know who actually put you onto my radar? Menachem,
Weinstein.
The comedian. No.
Silverstein.
Yes.
Oh,
Menachem
amazing.
Silverstein, the comedian. I am writing a book. It's a memoir because I'm a narcissist and need a memoir. And it's called Hipsit. It's basically a memoir of my life. And I find myself at the epicenter of the kind of hipster Hasidic mesh that has become Brooklyn. And I spoke to Menachem and I was looking to reach out to interesting sort of personalities that combine, you know, these two worlds together. And he put me in touch with you. And
that's really
I follow you. And I think you're doing amazing things. We also have joining us in the RV. We're ready. I got the bio. Rabbi Yisroel Glick. Say hello.
Hello.
Okay,
super
all the way
to be here.
All the way from a land down under.
Yes.
Okay, so Rabbi
Long
Glick.
Swim away from Brooklyn.
There you go. Rabbi Glick and can I just call you Hasidic Hipster Girl?
Sure, let's do it.
Can we just go HHG?
Sure.
Okay, so Hasidic Hipster Girl, and the way it works is I ask the questions, you answer, then I just make it about me. Okay, so I got your bio, Rabbi Glick. You are a contributor to Chabad.org and Jewish TV, course writer for the Jewish Learning Institute, and you have independently produced short videos that have been viewed, wait for it, Sherry, over 2 million times in the last 2 years.
Whoa.
2.5 years, yeah.
Wow, wait, 2 million. 2.5 million?
2.5 years.
How many million?
2. Going on 2 million.
It's unbelievable. Okay. All right. Beautiful. Thank you for joining
us.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity.
So I want to begin with origin stories. Okay, that's kind of where we're starting. So, Rabbi Glick, what's the origin story? How does a nice Jewish boy from Australia find himself in an RV in Bushwick?
Yes, I grew up in Melbourne. It's a long swim from Brooklyn. My father was actually the principal of a Chabad school there for decades.
Was that good for you or bad for you?
Good grades, bad grades? My grades were good, but that was just because I enjoyed school.
Right. If you were to miss school, you'd get like...
You don't miss school when your father's the principal.
Okay, I hear that.
I guess you could say I went on a somewhat of a path of self-discovery. There was a point, probably when I was 23, that the penny dropped and I started to see that Torah Judaism is not just a culture or a lifestyle, but life. It is a life.
Sherry's getting heavy already.
Yeah, that's the way I roll.
It's getting heavy.
I go heavy. And when that happened, I sort of, once that moment happened and the penny dropped, I found myself just trying to keep up. And I landed in Brooklyn. Actually, at that point, I was on my way to medical school. I was about to start. I'd had a number of setbacks. I'd been set on getting to medical school for, at that point, probably about 8 years or so. And I had a number of setbacks and I was about to start. Well, I was about to have an interview to get in and the chances of the interview were good. There was 3 out of 4 interviewees would get in and I was well prepared. And at that point, I decided, you know what, I'm going to come to Crown Heights to sit and learn here and to focus on Torah study for a bit. I'm going to come in for a few weeks, go back to Melbourne for the interview, then come back here and sit and learn. So I came here to study. I was going to head back for the interview, come back to continue studies again until medical school started. And at
epiphany.
That point,
you had an epiphany.
Well, the epiphany had already happened.
Oh.
And when I was on my way here, I had this strange sort of moment where I just realized that I wasn't going back to the interview.
Ah.
Wow. Yeah. So I, you know, and I'm very thankful to this
had
day.
Had a moment.
I'm super thankful that I sort of realized rather than having to figure it out and debate it, because that would have been a really tough one. But I sort of just realized that, you know what, like, I'm in a different place now and I'm still fascinated by medicine and it comes up a lot in my talks and teaching. But I just realized that I had another sort of, I guess you could say, another sort of healing that was now my priority. And
in pop culture, they would call that a sliding doors moment. So let me get this straight. So you grew up like sort of from habit, and you sort of explored, and then later on you decided to really embrace this from your own volition, as a calling, as a purpose, and you decided to become a rabbi. That was it. You had the crossroads, medical school or rabbinics. You chose rabbinics, and you've been viewed almost 2 million times. So I think you made the right choice. Okay, Hasidic hipster girl.
Hello, shalom.
What was your sliding doors moment? What's the origin story?
Wow.
You're from Canada?
I am from, actually born in Paris. Raised there until I was 10 years old, then moved to Toronto.
Oh.
I grew up going to Jewish day school my whole life. My family's, you know, pretty religious. They're actually very well associated with Chabad. We go to Chabad shul. I wouldn't necessarily call us a Chabad family. We grew up French-Moroccan. Both parents are Moroccan. Very strong religious values, as is. Even though from the outside we look like regular people. My turning point, I would say, was in university when I went there to study marketing and humanities. I was really discovering myself, meeting different types of people from different backgrounds and cultures.
Which
really
school?
York University. Really made me question, what am I? Who am I? What am I doing here? What does it mean to be Jewish? Being so proud to stand up for Israel. I became very involved with the Hillel, with the Chabad on campus. I became president of different organizations, and I realized I loved Judaism and leading leadership groups. I led a lot of different trips to Israel, like Birthright, Eshet Torah, just different types of trips that I absolutely loved, and I thought I really needed like a job in that type of field. I didn't know what exactly would bring livelihood using my Jewish passion. But just back to the turning point question, I think the turning point question really happened in university, where there's such a variety of different cultures, and then internalizing like, what am I in this big hole, really got me to search, and I got highly involved with the Chabad. So that when I finished my undergrad, I was actually going to make Aliyah, just like all my friends were doing, because that was a thing to do in the mono-Orthodox world. But instead, I decided to work for a Chabad house that actually Drake is a part of, which is Chabad of York Mills in Toronto.
Wow, Drake?
Yeah, they're like super high end. Super was like probably the best Chabad house to work at because
I got the best experience. The phone you said Drake.
Yeah,
Drake.
So Levi Gansberg was the rabbi I worked with, and he actually rapped to fill in with Drake. So that was
Drake's a big fan of the show, by the way.
Drake's epic. Drake, you rock. Six, that's where we're from.
Have you seen him at the Chabad house?
I haven't seen him at the Chabad, but I've seen the rabbi talk to him directly from his house. The rabbi lives on his street. I will not disclose what street that is.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, so I had a really amazing experience working for that Chabad house. I definitely got lucky because I discovered there were other Chabad houses that are definitely not up to those standards. So, you know, God led me to the right place at the right time. Everything just worked out, and I decided that's it. So
Sliding doors.
It was amazing. And then I'll wrap up quickly. The Rebbetzin there took me to Crown Heights for Chav Beit Shvat.
Yeah.
And then I got to experience that whole like banquet situation, which I absolutely loved. And I said, I will be moving to Crown Heights next year. And I made that as a commitment. And I ended up going to Machon Chana. Really had an amazing experience. And I'm living in Crown Heights, married to a Chabadnik. Super cool. He actually found me through my YouTube videos. That's a whole other shidduch story that we can speak about.
Oh, we're getting there.
I don't want to take up the entire air show. So
we're getting there.
Yeah. Wow. Lots of cool stories, yeah.
Okay, so Sarah, you asked me off mic, what was my story, what was my trajectory to rabbinics?
Yeah.
It's basically that story.
Oh, wow.
Except take out Machon Chana and add in Mayanot.
That's
I started
so
in
cool.
Asia. I moved over to Chabad. Yeah. I got involved on campus. Wow, that's so
cool.
No Drake yet.
No Drake. By the way, when any Chabad rabbi tells you they've got like a celebrity story, it's hyperbole. I've been milking like the David Beckham connection for years. Anyway, moving on. Okay, are you ready for the questions?
Yes.
I think we're about to find out.
I spent between 3 and 4 minutes this morning compiling a list of cutting-edge questions in no particular order. Number one, the reason why I was very excited to have you both on the podcast because you are the king and queen of using new media to promote ancient Jewish values and practice.
Totally.
Beginning with Rabbi Glick, almost 2 million views.
Wow.
So what was that made you decide that, you know what, you could take, you know, Judaism from the classroom, from the study hall, and use media to promote and create a sense of, you know, of sort of a viral approach to Jewish study?
So it's interesting. It kind of happened, not quite, but almost by accident. I'd been doing some research at a job that I was working at the time on YouTube, looking some things up, and I chanced upon this random video as you do on YouTube, and I watched it, and then the following video came on and I watched it, and then the third suggested video from the same producer in a row came on and I watched it, and I got to the end of the video and just said, I've just spent 15 minutes watching 3 videos from someone I don't know about something I wasn't looking for, because they were so engaging that I just gave 15 minutes of my time to watch videos that I had previously had no interest in. And then it just struck me that this is such a powerful medium, and it just didn't seem like there was anyone that was using this for teaching. Like, people use it for teaching and teaching about Judaism, but teaching really authentic, true to text and close to text, but in a way that is accessible to people who don't have any experience with the text, in a way that's going to be really engaging. And it just, I was sitting there saying, how come no one's doing it? How is it possible that no one's doing what this guy's doing? For teaching Torah, for teaching about, you know, authentic Torah Judaism. And as I continued to think, how can no one be doing this? How is it possible that no one's doing this? Eventually it sort of hit me that my number one gift and strength is, without a question, communicating and teaching. And I also at the time still have, though I don't have enough time for it, a hobby in still frame photography. And then it sort of hit me that I can teach and I can make these ideas accessible, and I know my way around a camera. I can't really sit here and complain that no one's doing this. So I thought about it for a while, and then it got to the point where I was like, you know what, I really should give this a shot. So then I mentioned it to my wife, and at that point there was no backing out anymore. And sure. I did probably several hundred hours of research about hardware and software, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. Sherry, take note.
And I figured, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. And I made a couple of videos. I shot them through the night in our two-bedroom apartment in Crown Heights. I set up at nighttime with backgrounds once the kids were in bed.
You're doing this completely on your own, right? You set up the tripod. You're recording, hit record, jump in front of the, you're editing, you're lighting. Because one thing about your videos is the production values are pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
I do appreciate you guys just being on the podcast today, though, because sometimes we have people who are video creators, and I'm not going to name any names, but they've tried to marry the two and brought all their cameras to the studio, and yeah,
it was a little bit
it doesn't quite work.
It's a bit much. But moving on.
So it's basically a one-man show. I set up everything, you know, tripods and lighting and backgrounds and the whole works, and record and edit. And the recording goes through the night. And a lot of time, by the time I start setting up, it takes a couple hours to get everything set up. So a lot of times I finish recording a video at 3-4 in the morning.
Whoa.
And then I get a couple hours sleep and then go and edit. And so I started doing that. I did a couple videos. And the first one was for Rosh Hashanah, probably maybe 5 years ago or so. Then the second one was for Yom Kippur. And I just made this video. I put it on Facebook. And Chabad.org reached out to me and said, hey, we saw your video. We love it. Can we post it? I said, sure. And they posted that Yom Kippur video on Facebook. And it was viewed 70,000 times in 1.5 days. And that completely blew my mind. And at that point, it was very clear to me that this was something that was real, and it was time to, you know, to make this real. And from that point on, I basically have been focused on, you know, and I mean, now looking back at those first videos that got that first video that got those 70,000 views, it's it makes me cringe, but you know, that's the reason that the videos today don't make me cringe anymore. And hopefully in 5 years they will make me cringe, because, you know, that's the way things
You're getting better and better.
Thank God.
Wow. It's very inspiring.
It's amazing.
So yeah, so it just sort of happened. It just happened because I, you know, I discovered.
You saw a space, you felt a passion. I always feel like being the rabbi of Pratt Institute, you know, like I'm around the culture vultures and the media mavens. And as beautiful as a Torah class is, and we had one last night in the shul, and, you know, we get 5 people. If the food is excellent, 10 people. If I make calls and you know, guilt, maybe 11. But, you know, a piece of pop culture can reach 11 million people at a click of a button.
So I actually prefer teaching people in real life. I'm much more on fire.
You're marrying the two together.
In a classroom in front of people, that's when I'm really, you know, when the magic really happens.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like you said, there's a limit of how many people you can fit in a classroom. And the widest reach on a video that I produced was just over 120,000 views on one video. So
beautiful. Okay. Wow.
There's no way to do that in a classroom. Wow.
Sarah.
Yes.
So what was it that made you start to use new media? Because you have embraced the medium of Instagram.
Yes.
In a way I think few Hasidic goals have. And you have a real reach now. I see the numbers are growing. The numbers don't lie. The likes don't lie. And what made you suddenly decide to embrace primarily the Instagram medium?
Thank you so much. So,
and you're a performer. I can see just looking at you.
Thank you. I was just going to mention, I actually do have an acting and theater background. So growing up, I was very involved in theater and performing and getting gigs and documentaries and short films, whatever was kosher enough for me at the time. And then I realized that it was going to get a lot more challenging as I was getting more into my Judaism and getting married. It's also a whole different level, Jewish or not. You have just different standards when you're a married person, whether male or female. You're just a lot more limited, which made me realize I'm not going to come to a full stop. A lot of people were telling me you are a religious girl. You're going to have to stop eventually. You can't make it big. You can't make it to Hollywood. But today you don't need Hollywood to get there. You use digital media.
Right.
So the more people will tell me I can't make it, the more I thought, of course I'm going to make it. I'm going to prove them wrong, and I'm going to prove everybody wrong. And we have digital media, like I said, and that's what enabled me to grow this big, to use my passion to perform and to share what I'm passionate about with other people and to engage with my audience. So I guess my passion just led the way. I did not have an intention to grow this big. I just started, like, little by little, posting every day, just Jewish holidays that were coming up, or like my thoughts about certain controversial Jewish issues, just different things, and it grew.
Oh, I don't think you're limited. I think you're liberated, and I don't think you compromise yourself, but you talk in a message, in a medium that I think the millennials can appreciate and understand and accept and embrace.
Yes.
And I think that you're really becoming like sort of a role model.
Thank you so,
so
much.
With that, I have a couple of questions for both of you. Because we are in an age of new media. And we're in an age where media has been used to permeate. But it's also personal in a way that's never been, I think, explored before. Are you familiar with the work of Sherry Turkle? She's a social scientist who wrote an amazing book called Together Alone. And she basically talks about the dangers of social media, that sometimes in life we'd rather text than talk. Mm-hmm. And I certainly see this having a 16-year-old son mm-hmm. that sometimes I think that weapons of mass distraction mm-hmm. can be more dangerous than weapons of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance the need to document your life with the need to have a life and your public life and your private life?
Like you said, you really need a balance and you need to make a time for everything. You need to understand and remember that you do have certain priorities. So for example, I do start my day off with praying. And
I love that, by the way.
Thank you so much.
You have the sitter open.
Yes.
And it's always in a sort of different landscape. It's very inspiring. So Brochus, gratitude.
Thank you so much. So
see, I watch.
Yeah, you do watch my stuff. It used to be really hard, actually.
Not all of
when
it, because it's a little... you get around.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Tired just watching.
I totally understand.
So I start with the morning and then I taper off.
Yeah. So I wanted to say... It actually used to get really hard when I used to pray and think, oh, I got to get my day started with Instagram. There was so much going on in my head because it's not an organized world, Instagram. It's very chaotic. There's an information overload. So I was like, you know what? That's it. I'm going to start posting a picture of my sitter and then putting my phone aside and davening, focusing on prayer. And that really, really helped me focus on my own prayer and helped thousands of people pull out a prayer book just to pray and to connect, or people to meditate my sitter picture every day. And one day I actually didn't post it and people are asking me, what's going on, where are you here?
You're frying out. So, they got worried.
Yeah, they got worried. Just one thing actually from before, you asked me what keeps me going. There was this one quote from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that I actually found on Instagram, ironically, and it said, if you have talents and you don't use them, it's as if you're wasting every single day of your life, right? So it went along those lines. I don't know if I'm quoting him properly, but that really...
Rabbi Glick's going to fact check over here.
That really stood with me, and I realized, like, every single person in this world, if you have a talent, you have a passion, spread it, do it. If you're not spreading it to the world, we have digital age media right here. You have all the tools to spread it out. If you're not doing that, then what are you doing with your life?
Okay, here's what I find inspiring, is that I think the notion of the influencer has gained traction over the past few years, mm-hmm. and I think that... it's very difficult, and I'm curious to get your opinion about this, Robert Glick. I think for teachers and for educators to really catch up and keep up, because I noticed that my son in yeshiva, we don't have 1,000 channels of television at home, but we have laptops and we have MacBooks and he has access, and it's very difficult. For the teachers, how do they compete with the Marvel Cinematic Universe? They're telling the kids stories of 17th century wagon drivers, and the kids are watching Iron Man, and it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think something about what you do, Sarah, is that I think that rather than go to an influencer that perhaps doesn't share the teachings and the values of our youth, and I got nothing against Selena Gomez. I haven't watched her Insta, but I know that she's number two. She's a little bit ahead of you. It's okay. Don't get FOMO. For now, catching up. But the fact is that they choose you. They could go to Selena Gomez, but they choose you. And they see a lifestyle, that is in keeping with their own culture and their own tradition and their own values. The fact that you've been able to carve this niche and become an influencer to your own community, I think is very inspiring.
Thank you so much.
There you go. She likes it. She's in. Okay.
Can't say a blamer.
Question. Hasidic hipster girl. Mm-hmm. You're walking past a beautiful sunset. You enjoy the sunset or do you make a story?
So I quickly take a story and I hashtag marabu. That's my thing when I see beautiful pieces of nature. And I taught people. People know what the marabu is, no matter what background you're from. And then I put my phone away and enjoy the sunset. So I really do half and half.
All right. Rabbi Glick, what do you do? Sunset. Domino Park, beautiful sunset, over the bridge.
I actually don't do nearly as much documenting as... Well, I don't necessarily know that I should, but from a certain perspective, it would... There would be value to be gained from me documenting a lot more, and I'm sort of... It's this constant debate that I'm having whether or not I'm going to go down that road. And the primary reason why I haven't yet is because of the extent of the commitment that it takes, which is exactly what this question boils mm-hmm. down to. So I haven't yet decided that I'm ready to go from teaching online and using video and social media as a way to teach to going full-blown documenting influencer, because I'm not sure I'm just not sure that that's where I want to go, and I'm not sure that I'm not. It's kind of debating, but it's the kind of thing that if you're going to do it, you have to buy in and go all the way.
Right.
Exactly.
And I haven't yet decided that, you know, that that's the route I'm going to take. So, I mean, but like I said, before I started, this whole thing that I do started from my photography hobby. So I used to have that issue with my camera. I'd be out with my wife and she'd be trying to enjoy the moment and I'd be trying to get a good picture.
Right.
And eventually we worked out a balance.
Right.
But...
Yeah, I want to ask you that, actually. That's like, firstly, 1 second. Sherry?
Yes.
Beautiful sunset. What do you do?
It depends. I was in Mexico, and I got to say, I was 100%. Not only was I on social media for the sunset, but I was doing multiple takes because I would decide that my first one wasn't good. And then, you know, eventually I was actually missing the entire sunset because I did... 4 different stories, which I all had to then edit and decide.
You know those people that fall off a cliff,
you know,
making a selfie?
Yeah.
That's Sherry.
Yeah, exactly. That's totally me, 100%.
Okay. Sarah and Rabbi Glick, how do you manage and combine and synthesize your online personas with your, I guess, IRL, in real life personas? And I'm telling you from personal experience, as someone, I guess I'm a shtickle raconteur, and my oldest joke is, you know, I did not grow up religious. I grew up normal. My background is sort of on the periphery of the film industry. And today I've written books. I speak. I'm the rabbi of Pratt Institute. And I find that it's important to preach and teach with humor, because if people are not awake, it doesn't really matter what you talk about. Mm-hmm. But that's given me somewhat of a reputation as the funny rabbi. So I'll be shopping in the marketplace and it'll be, oh, here's the funny rabbi. Tells joke, funny rabbi. I don't always want to be the funny rabbi. I feel like Joe Pesci. You know that scene in Goodfellas, Sherry? He goes, in what way am I funny? I just want to grab a snooker cue, and I'm off topic right now.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
That's a little dark,
yeah.
Right?
I actually mentioned to someone that I was going to be coming here and sitting down with you, and they were like, oh, the funny rabbi.
The funny rabbi, right? It's a lot. It's a bit much. Tell us a joke, rabbi. Am I here to amuse you? Am I a clown? So how do you...
Apparently, yes.
And you also project yourself that way, but you're not always in the mood for it.
So how do you do that?
Personally, I just go with what I'm in the mood for. So if I'm just feeling to go for a walk, actually happened, I was in the mood to just go for a walk, get things off my mind around the block. And around the block is basically my neighborhood live, like my following live.
Right.
But I'm hoping I won't see anyone. I put my earphones in, I'm walking, and then all of a sudden I get a tap from someone I don't even know. Hey, I said, it comes to a girl. She naturally put a smile on my face and I just gave her a hug. So at the end of the day, just be real, be true to yourself, and that's the way to go. There's no answer. You just be you. Just be.
So grabbing a pull cue and hitting somebody over the head in the marketplace, it's probably not, you're saying, the way.
Probably not a good idea.
Right. I should embrace it, and I hear what you're saying. Okay, that's a good answer. Okay, so I like to ask the big questions over here. We like to go there. This is the Hipsit podcast. It's not CNN. There's no fake news. This is not fluff.
Nice.
I did ask Benny Friedman how much he makes. I did. And we're going there.
Nice.
Yeah, he bought a house. I got it out of him. Didn't get the tax returns, though I did try. So how do you both monetize? Because I'm joking. I'm not. How do you monetize what you're doing? You're able to get ad revenue through the videos?
I don't actually.
Sponsors? And we're going there.
I don't get ad revenue
Sarah's
from
looking
videos
nervous over there.
for a number of reasons. One of them is that, well, I'm actually working now on moving towards a specific subset of ad revenue, but
yeah.
I wouldn't monetize like through a platform because, well, there are two things. First of all, a large reason why the videos have been successful is because I put a lot of thought and intention into the first few seconds to make sure that within the first few seconds, people can get interested and stay for the rest. And if you don't catch someone in the first two, probably down to 0.8 seconds these days.
Wow.
They're gone and no one's going to see the video. And it's not like the stuff I'm teaching is necessarily things that people are looking for. It's things that people will come across and say, oh, wow, this is interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if as soon as there's an ad in front of the video, you lose a huge amount of that opportunity to get the message to people. And there's also the issue of you never know what ads are going to be there at the front of your video. So at the moment, I'm primarily working to make it sustainable, but through fundraising. And I'm working on a new model with some sort of more corporate sponsorship rather than what you generally think of as ad revenue on a platform.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because that's controlled and you can make it work in a way that it works with the audience and with the performance.
It's interesting what you said about the first few seconds of a video. Because when I give a lecture, I can tell in the first nanosecond if it's going to go well and I'm going to crush or I'm going to bomb. Yeah. I spoke in, where was it? Milwaukee, crushed it.
Wow.
Spoke in Southampton, moving on. Hasidic Hipster Girl, how are we monetizing?
Great question. And actually what I do is I help businesses grow their brand through advertising and through my platform or their own platform. But one of the ways I do it is I either become a brand ambassador with a brand and then you won't even know that I'm advertising for the brand, but I'm advertising for it through my stories.
Right.
So that's one form of that. One form of advertising is called product placement. When I take a picture and let's say this water bottle is behind me, you don't even know that it's in the photo, but it's actually in the background of the photo and it says Smart Water right there. And you didn't even know that it was an ad, but it was an ad. It's called product placement. There's so many different types of ads.
She just got paid by Smart Water right there.
I just got paid. And you guys didn't even know. You didn't even know.
Right.
So
she's way ahead of the game.
That's just an example. Oh, yeah. But there's also wearing specific clothing. So I'm just storing about the weather and wearing.
So you create a lifestyle that people want to belong to.
Pretty much.
So you'll make a video and you're like.
And I'll pick the brands that I want because not every brand do I want to work with.
Are consistent with your values.
Exactly.
So you're sat, you're in Prospect Park, people are watching, you're having a panini, people are watching, and you're like, this Mendelssohn's panini is fantastic.
Exactly.
Wow.
On point.
And I saw that there's a new thing now, like an augmented reality, and the direction that Instagram is going is that your followers can click on to like your shoes, and they can be directed to the store.
Yeah.
Point on click and you have this like direct connection with the consumer, and that's what I think is beautiful, that you're selling a kosher lifestyle. Why should my daughter be going to
also supporting
Kim Kardashian when she can go to Hasidic Hipster Girl?
Exactly. And also you're supporting Jewish businesses, kosher lifestyles, kosher foods. There's just so much. There's so much. And it's such a saturated market. Why go elsewhere?
Right.
We can work all together as a team. Why go elsewhere? And there's so many events also that gather all these Jewish businesses like the Brooklyn Market, the JWE, CHYE. Or there's so many other things. Countless. I can't even. Yeah. So there's a whole world out there. So why not focus on that one instead of going outwards?
Wow. I have not sold out in the same way because I've not been asked. So I just want to put it out there. Smart Water, I'm available. I'll do it. I'll put it in the back of my pictures. I post me and the kids in the car every morning listening to the morning tunes.
Nice.
Jumping around the car. I got a ticket once, actually. 3 points. Moving on. Sherry, one word. Shavuot. What does that mean to you?
Is that the cheese one?
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I'm getting better, you guys.
You're getting... By
Which
the way,
company should we get it from?
By the way,
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Every show for the new listeners and the new guests, tell you in 10 seconds, my mom's Israeli, my dad's Jewish, my stepdad who raised me was Protestant, so I wasn't, for a big chunk of my life, wasn't Jewish, but genetically as Jewish as it gets. Learning about Jewish life through the podcast.
Nice.
Amazing.
Wow.
Keep going.
this podcast is basically me like subliminally prophetizing to Sherry. That's basically the podcast.
And also talking about my my boyfriend, who doesn't count.
Sherry has a boyfriend, and we what's the word? Romantically, affectionately call him the boyfriend.
Yeah. Who is now also being subliminal influenced as well, because just last night, for the first time, he goes, oh, you know, I think I'm going to start studying Hebrew.
Rabbi Glick is sat here thinking, what have I got myself into? And he's not even denying it. By the way, Sherry attended, talking about Sherry being prophetized, Sherry attended our recent Lagba Omer party on the deck. Sherry, any thoughts about Lagba Omer? How was it?
I love it.
How was it for you?
I love it. I don't know if you need to announce the amount that you paid for the entertainer.
What did he do, Sherry?
He had an amazing light show guy, which was apparently he also had the same guy last year.
Right.
But as he's doing his thing.
I thought I had to like.
As he's doing his thing, it's great. Going. Everyone loves it. And he goes, $200, guys. This is what $200 gets.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, then he juggled
it was
fire.
Funny. It was funny.
He actually dropped one of the fireballs. He almost burnt my kid. But $200, what do you expect? Okay, so we are about to celebrate the cheese. So I'm slow, Hasidic hipster girl, but I'm catching up. Okay, I'm watching it. I'm loving it. I'm inspired by it. And I'm emulating it.
Today we can't
walk. I am your humble chassid. So we are about to celebrate the cheesecake holiday. Mm. Rabbi Glick, you are the keynote speaker at our all-night synagogue Torahthon. How does that feel?
I'm feeling tired thinking about it already.
You should be
3 a.m.
The bar is low. By the way, Hasidic hipster girl pulled out. She's going to Canada. But next year. We'll get you next year.
Next year. It'll be my pleasure.
There you go.
No, I'm super excited.
Okay, question. Rabbi Glick, why do... Sherry just said that Shavuot is the cheesecake holiday.
It is.
I just want to give, for the listeners, a quick intro. By the way, Mitch Garbo, if you're listening, I hope you're not crying. Okay, so here's a little Shavuot intro. It's ironic that Shavuot... little known holiday, given that it actually commemorates the single biggest event in Jewish history, the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. It is the culmination of the 7-week period counting the Omer, which occurs following Passover. But as Sherry beautifully synopsized, it is the cheesecake holiday. So, Rabbi Glick, stop looking at the notes. Why do we eat cheesecake on Shavuot?
So, there are a number of different reasons. The truth is that in
terms of... father's the principal, so...
There are some technical reasons and some more sort of metaphorical reasons. It's the birth of the Jewish people. Birth is associated with
stop looking.
Infants have milk.
Okay. Good.
There are some technical things, but the truth is, when talking about Shavuos, I like to look at the bigger picture and the deeper picture. And what Shavuos is really about, and the layers that Shavuos has beneath the surface, are Shavuos is a holiday of, I would say, unity, but not just unity among people.
Junity. See what I did?
Junity is one layer of it, and
see
actually
what I did,
just
Sarah?
Just had a video go out about that.
You're catching up, Rabbi.
Yep. Sarah can get you an ad for that video.
So,
you put this water. I'm sorry. Go on.
But Shavuos is about unity, not just between people. The unity between people is one layer of it, but what I guess you could almost call like an intercosmic unity, which is, yeah, because what it really boils down to, if you drill deep enough, is why, not only why we're here, but why does the universe exist and why did time and space exist? And all of that exists for a reason, that reason being the unity of matter and spirit, and bringing spirit and purpose and meaning into the mundane parts of life. And there's bringing meaning, which is the human element of it, and then there's bringing the actual spirituality, which is perhaps like it's like the technical side of it. It's not what we experience, but it's what we achieve. And we do that when we interact with the world and we interact with things with purpose for a reason. What we do is we actually connect those things with divinity, and we bring divinity and spirituality and godliness into the world and into the fabric of the world. And we are only able to do that because of Shavuos.
I have no idea what you just said, but it sounded amazing.
It was.
Sherry, Saturday night, Rabbi Glick is going to be talking in the synagogue, and you're in.
Wait, so it's not just for the guys?
No, okay. No, it's never just for the guys.
I don't know. That part confuses me.
You've been to enough events. Hasidic Hipster Girl.
Yes.
On the Hipsid podcast, why do we eat cheesecake on Shavuot?
So we eat cheesecake on Shavuot because it's 3 days and we get hungry.
Gotta mix it up.
Can't have so much meat. Every other holiday is meat and fish. So like we switch it up. We have some cheesecake. We have options.
Wait a second. What
if some of us are on a diet, though?
You get the gluten dairy free. They have many different brands that are offering that option right now. Selective.
There you go. Okay, so the
message me after. I'll let you know. Yeah.
Okay, so the numerical value of milk, okay, chalav is 40. This hints to the 40 days Moses spent atop of Mount Sinai, and the 40 years the Jews spent wandering the desert. You like that?
I do.
Okay, so cool. I have learnt from Hasidic Hipster Girl that you have to learn to cross-pollinate, and that through the power of harnessing social media, you can reach many, many people, and you can learn from many people and infuse and inspire many people. Sherry, you know where we're going over here. Bring on the cheesecake. So this morning, I went to Table 40 in Borough Park. My good friend, Yoli Meisels. Yoli Meisels is the... By the way, you'd like this. Hasidic Hipster Girl, Justin Bieber just moved to Williamsburg.
No way. He's living from my hometown.
He's living on Kent Street. I have a good friend of mine, Morty. He has a video of the Heimish kids. They don't even know who he is. It's very inspiring. He's going to his Escalade. The kids don't even know who he is.
I'll tell you
one thing. I hope he's vaccinated. So we have over here from Table 40.
Hold on. Can we go to Bieber after this?
We go to Bieber.
Okay, perfect.
You're excited now?
Yeah, I'm excited.
So we have a selection of cheesecakes.
Okay.
Don't say the Hipsid podcast does not go there. So in honor of the... there's another bag over
this
there.
This is too much.
No, it's never too much.
No, we're Jewish.
All right.
Yeah, right? There's no ish about it, okay? There's no light in Israelite.
Is this sponsored by Table 40?
Sponsored by Table 40. You see Table 40?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm expecting... I told him that you'd put a thing on your thing. I'll do it. There you go. So Hasidic Hipster,
I'll bill you later.
Would you like to talk us through what's currently on offer?
Currently on offer right here?
Yeah, on the table.
Sure. All right. So
Explain what's going on right now. Shall I get the rest of the delicious dishes from
Table 40, who is getting a free collaboration from Hasidic Hipster Girl right now. This is a one-time thing only, so be grateful. We have the homemade cheese kreplach, which look like they are breaded.
She's good.
They look incredible. We're going to taste them in a minute. We have the cheese blintzes. This definitely reminds me of an Ashkenazic type of background type food.
Old school.
I've never seen them until I moved to Crown Heights. Yes, I'm Moroccan. We've got the cheesecake. This is like your typical marble cheesecake. Got the diet cheesecake for you.
I'm on a diet.
For Cheryl.
I'm on a diet. Sherry.
Sherry.
It's okay.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
We'll keep that in. It's funny.
And then we have the dangerous cheesecake, the carrot cheesecake, and the rosemary cheesecake. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah.
You know what the biggest lie any rabbi has ever told, Rabbi Glick?
What's that?
You don't gain weight on Shabbos. I'm going to end off the podcast before Rabbi Glick runs out. I want to thank Rabbi Glick for giving your time. It's a busy week. It's before Shavuos. I know that you're not only speaking in my shul, you're speaking in many shuls. So it's a busy week for you. I really want to thank you for coming. It's very inspiring to see a rabbi that can embrace new media and really reach literally millions of people who doesn't compromise himself, but does really embrace media in all its forms. So thank you so much for coming.
For the opportunity. And that's just another example of the same thing. The social media are another part of this world, and that they can be used for different things. And I'm trying to do the best I can to elevate and bring divinity into social media. Well, in contrast to some of the other things they can be used for.
Okay.
So.
I want to thank Hasidic Hipster Girl
thank
for
so
showing
much.
My daughter that she does not have to go to Selena Gomez. who was recently passed by Ariana Grande. How I know these things, I don't know. But that they can actually,
osmosis.
You know, Osmosis and People Magazine. That, you know, my kids can find sort of inspiration within their own community. They don't have to go outside. They can find it on the inside. Yeah. It is inspiring.
And now that Justin Bieber's in the
town.
Community.
Yeah, we're going to take him out with
we're
the measles.
We're going to hit him up.
Yeah. The fact, you know, I do want to thank you for coming. I know you're very busy and it really is inspiring. I am writing a memoir, Hipsid, about this kind of amalgamation that's going on in Brooklyn. You're going to get your own panel thanks to Menachem. It's very, very inspiring. Wow. You are the real deal. I can see talking to you that you have the courage of your convictions. And I want to thank, finally, our producer, Sherry, blowing up on Mashable. Sherry, one final question. No guilt, no pressure. Will you be coming to our Shavuot program Saturday night? No. It's all right. You didn't come to Seder, Sherry. It's okay.
Hey.
You keep me in business over here, Sherry.
I am working this weekend. I am actually working.
Well, I get paid to be Jewish, so, you know, I got no choice.
He puts me on the spot.
I always put you on the spot. It's what I do, a little sprinkling of Jewish guilt. I'll go. Before we end off, we're going to take a little bite of the cheesecake. I'm going to end
we're
the podcast,
this.
Cherry.
We're taking
the bite.
Oh,
yeah, we're doing it. We're doing it. We're going to end off with the words of Jacob Waldman. And Jacob Waldman once gave me the greatest piece of dieting advice that anyone's ever given me. And I think as we approach a three-day hag, it's important to enjoy life. It's important to inspire life. We also have to eat responsibly. Jacob told me that you have to choose what you want most over what you want now. So I wanna bless Rabbi Glick. I wanna bless HHG. I wanna bless Cheryl. That we should choose what we want most over what we want now. Thank you so much.
I want the carrot cheesecake more than the diet cheesecake.
I'm just getting nachas that you said H.
It's really nice.
H, right?
Yes.
Do you mind if I add one more thing, Rabbi?
Oh, go for it.
All right. So I just want to say that the reason that every single person is in this room right now is finding a connection with each other is because of the holiday of Shavuot. We each come from such different backgrounds and such different cultures. We grew up in different countries. And because of Shavuot, we connect in one room and we feel that there's a connection even though we don't know each other. So just wanted to say that Shavuot really unites us as a people.
Different parts of the world, beautiful. Different places, different spaces. And here we are in an RV in Bushwick. Under the M train, about to eat rosemary cheesecake. Yes. And with that, this is me, Rabbi Simcha, saying good night. Good night.
Good night.
Lila Tov.
There we go.
Hipsid, the podcast, is recorded and produced by Rabbi Simcha and Sherry Barkley. Please like and subscribe on iTunes. Thank you. Bye.